What would it be like if we had a moratorium on issues that divide us and spent all our time and energy focusing on reaching out to those in our world who feel like outcasts and share God's love with them? It is my hope that we will be more concerned about extending God's grace than getting it right.
That's Pastor James Perry speaking at last summer in Pittsburgh at the General Conference of the United Methodist Church on the issue of the compatibility of homosexuality and Christianity. He made it sound like you have to choose between following the Bible on the issue of human sexuality or reaching the lost. Is it an either-or doctrine or the mission of the church? Now, this is the extreme case, granted. But have you ever heard your pastor say something to the same effect? Not with regard to homosexuality, but with regard to any other doctrine, as though you have to choose between pure doctrine and reaching the lost. We're going to be dispelling that myth about evangelism first and foremost here during this hour of Issues Etc. with Dr. Larry Rast. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. Larry Rast is our guest. We're going to talk about myths regarding evangelism, doctrine, and evangelism. He's Associate Professor of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and author of an article in the latest For the Life of the World magazine titled Doctrine and Mission, Not Either Or, But Both And. Larry, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd. Great to be with you again.
Your reaction to that cut we paid from Pastor James Perry?
Well, it is really very striking to hear somebody make that kind of claim that plainly and really that vigorously, because, the first thing that it raises in my mind is, well, then what do you say about God? What is it that you share with people? He says he would like people to focus upon God's love, focus upon God's grace. But even in using those kinds of terms, you're assuming that you can define the grace of God, that you can talk about the love of God. And in order to do that properly, in order to speak about the love of God in a proper and biblical fashion, and to define for people the gift of God's love, that is, His grace, then you're already talking doctrine. So in other words, I think that it basically is impossible to separate doctrine from mission or evangelism and sharing the gospel message. It is, after all, a message. So while this person says, well, we'd like to have a moratorium on speaking about those things that divide us, if you took that to its radical conclusion, and you're right, this is a rather radical example, if you took that to its radical conclusion, you'd find yourself hard-pressed to be able to say anything about God, and specifically about God's saving love in Christ Jesus.
I was at an evangelism conference just a couple weeks ago. Lots of lay people and pastors gathered together talking about evangelism. One of the speakers said, one of the greatest enemies of the evangel, the gospel, has become evangelism. Do you agree?
Well, any time you begin to talk about an ism, evangelism as a movement, as an institution, as a method, then the method can become an end in itself. It can become its own focus, if you will. It's I think sometimes lost on us that we get so caught up in the appropriate desire to share the gospel that sometimes we forget that there's a gospel message specifically to share. And if one becomes consumed with simply the method of sharing or the law that is the drive to share, without properly understanding what it is we are to share, the content or the doctrine of the scriptures that tell us about the love and grace of God, then we have shifted our focus from that which is appropriate to that which can actually obscure the gospel. And so it could become a self-defeating endeavor, if you will, where you talk so much about evangelism that you never talk about the evangel, namely the gospel itself.
So what is the gospel itself?
The gospel is the simple message of the scriptures that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. But there's And simple as that message is, there's a lot captured in that, that God so loved the world that he gave his Son, tells us about the doctrine of the Trinity right away. It also talks about the person of Christ, whom we confess on the basis of the Scripture, is truly God and man, that God gave him. What does that mean? Well, it means that Christ lived a perfect life in our place, but also paid the penalty for our sins. And you can see, even though that I'm going pretty quickly here, through a familiar verse to many of our listeners, even though I'm going quickly through it, there's an awful lot of theology that is bound up in that. There's an awful lot of doctrine that is captured in the proclamation of that very simple and beautiful message.
A regular guest on our program, Dr. Mike Horton, recounted to us once how in conversation with a very prominent evangelist, that people's name of which people would be familiar with, after this conversation, Mike said to him, "Look, I think you sound like you're more concerned and you care more about evangelism than the evangel. Is this the state of affairs?"
In American evangelicalism, the drive to share some kind of a message, to do evangelism, maybe that's a better way to put it, simply to do evangelism, to be busy in evangelism, has led many people to shove the message, the evangel, the gospel, to the side. And the idea is, if we can just be saying something, be out there doing something, be out there meeting people and speaking to people and talking to them, then we will have somehow accomplished the missionary task, that we will have acted in an evangelistic fashion. And my point here is that you really can't do that in a biblical way and fulfill the biblical model unless you're saying something very specific as you get out and share that message. Now, I hope people don't get me wrong. I'm not saying at all, don't speak the message. I'm saying absolutely we must speak the message. Absolutely we need to take this word out. But my point is simply this. You have to take that word out, that message out. You need to be proclaiming and sharing and speaking doctrine. So you can't put the, you need the horse and the cart here. You can't just have a horse or you just can't have a cart. You need both together to take that good news of Christ crucified and risen again out to a world in need.
Larry, everybody talks about evangelism. But when you scratch the surface, you find out that there are a lot of different definitions here. Let's deal with some of those varying definitions, and I'd like your reaction to them. Is feeding the poor, social work, helping the downtrodden of society, evangelism?
No, I don't think it is. If it is, if you define that as evangelism, then there are a lot of non-Christian groups that are doing perhaps a better job of evangelism than Christians are. And I think you see the irony of my statement there. There are plenty of human organizations, there are plenty of religious organizations that are involved in works of charity for their fellow human beings. And while I certainly support these endeavors, we can't confuse them with the specific proclamation of the gospel of Christ crucified and risen again. Now again, that's not to say that we should avoid doing these things. Certainly our Lord himself says, when you share a cup of cold water with one of these people, you were sharing it with me. But what we understand by that is that the works of charity are secondary, if you will. That is, they flow out of our concern and our care for other people. But our primary concern, our primary task as people in the church is to share the specific message of God's grace in Christ. In all too many cases, works of charity become a replacement, if you will, for the purely proclaimed gospel. And when that happens, once again, you really don't have the gospel being proclaimed as God intends it to be proclaimed.
When some talk about evangelism, they talk about networking, making connections with people. Is befriending an unbeliever evangelism?
It could certainly lead to evangelism, but in and of itself, it isn't. Again, human relationships are established constantly by any number of people all the time. I have friends in a variety of Christian tradition. I have friends, people I consider friends, who are not part of the church. Simply being their friend does not mean I'm proclaiming the gospel to them. With these people, particularly those who are outside of the Christian tradition, One thing I'm very intentional about doing all the time is sharing my faith. And my faith, not my own faith, as though it's something about rest, but rather my faith in Christ and pointing specifically to Christ, the one who has carried that person's sin, suffered, died, and risen again for their salvation. Simply befriending them, simply spending time with them and cultivating a relationship in that regard, while it's a nice thing, remains incomplete unless the specific gospel message is shared with that person.
When we come back from this break, we're going to continue talking with Dr. Larry Rast about myths regarding evangelism and the marriage of doctrine and evangelism. He's Associate Professor of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, and author of an article in the latest For the Life of the World magazine titled Doctrine and Mission, Not Either Or, But Both. And Dr. Larry Rast is our guest. When we come back, what about me telling you about how much my life has changed? I used to do this and be this and run around with this kind of a crowd, and then I found Jesus. And now I don't do any of those things anymore, and look at the other things I am doing, all the good works that I'm performing. I've really made a transformation. My life has changed. Is that kind of testimonial evangelism? When we spend more time talking about ourselves than about the one who actually has made the change, forgiven the sins, paid for those sins on the cross? We'll talk about it when we come back.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths into the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly contributor to Issues, Etc. To find out how you can become a confessor, an apologist, or a reformer, check out page 8 of the latest Issues Etc. journal, or visit our website, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, grace, faith, scripture, for the sake of Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc. and you. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking with Dr. Larry Rast regarding myths about evangelism. Larry, before we go on, tell us a little bit about Christ Academy 2005, this two-week residential program for high school-aged men that Concordia Theological Seminary offers.
Sure, Todd. I appreciate the question. One of the most exciting things that we do here at the seminary is that every summer, we have a two-week program in which over 50 young men from around the country who are very interested in theology, very interested in service for the church, and are considering, in many cases, considering entering the pastoral ministry, come onto our campus and live together as a community, gathered around the Word, gathered around the sacrament, and spending a lot of time studying theology as well as having an awful lot of fun with one another. And it's a great program in which young men have the opportunity to immerse themselves in the scriptures, in the theology of the church, as well as in the life of the church through word and sacrament. And I've been able to teach now, I think, well, the program's been going on a number of years. I don't know exactly how many, but I've taught, I think, 4 out of the last several years and have been tremendously blessed myself to be a part of this group. And one of the things that we see now is that young men of high school age who have been through our Christ Academy have then gone on to college, many times one of the Concordia College or universities of our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and now are beginning to make their way back into the seminary. So having gotten to know them as young men, they're now returning as young men, somewhat more mature, who are preparing for the ministry of our church. And it is a tremendous, tremendous thing to be a part of that great process. The Christ Academy, I simply cannot recommend it enough. It is a tremendous opportunity for young men who are interested in serving the church.
Folks, you can find out more about Christ Academy 2005. It's held June the 19th through July the 2nd. It's a two-week residential program on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Just call them toll-free, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the Christ Academy 2005 logo and the link to more information on our homepage, issuesetc.org, or call them toll-free, 1-800-481-2155. Larry, another myth, I think, about evangelism is the so-called testimonial. I'll tell you about my life, what I used to be like, and now that I found Jesus, how different I am. Is this evangelism?
If a human being is talking about themselves, then strictly speaking, this is not the gospel. The gospel is about Jesus Christ and about his work on our behalf, about what he has done for us, and about how he has procured salvation from our sins and the promise of everlasting life. When a person begins to offer a personal testimony, a statement about their own life, they've taken the focus away from that which is most important for the sake of the gospel, namely Christ himself, who has accomplished all things on our behalf. And, you know, it can be a very effective thing for a person to give a speech about themselves, and they can point to their own actions and their own deeds. The problem is, however, when you start getting into that, when a person starts to point to their own life, then you open yourselves up to some real problems. Let me give you an example here. Years ago, when I was a younger man, I had heard a man give a testimony about how God had changed some basic things in his life, how he had gone from being a very foul and kind of rough person to being a person whose mouth rarely gave off any kind of offensive testimony, and how he was moving on towards bigger and better things. Well, unfortunately, one time out in public, I happened to be near this man when he lost his temper in a very powerful way and began to speak in a very uncouth manner and use all kinds of horrific words. The poor guy didn't know I was around. When he saw me, he was horrified and very much convicted of himself. But you can imagine then, if somebody else had heard this man say, "Look at how I have overcome sin in my life," and then heard him sinning in such a public and foul way, they would have said, "Well, this Christianity thing's just a bunch of baloney, and the people who are involved in it are hypocrites." Hence, when we talk about missions, when we talk about evangelism, we point to Christ, the one who is without sin, the one who has accomplished all things, and we put the focus on him and him alone. For there in Christ you have all in all, and you need not look anywhere else.
Is this why when Luther counsels, I think in an informal way, in a letter once he was talking to, I think, Philip Melanchthon, and the letter's usually titled, "Let Your Sin Be Strong," he talks about presenting yourself in the world as a real sinner, not as someone whose life has been transformed away from sin, but as a real sinner for whom Christ died.
That's a great point. Not unlike what we see Paul talking about in Romans chapter 7, when you have the great apostle, the missionary to the Gentiles, this person through whom God worked in such powerful ways, saying what? "Look at my life. The good things that I would do, I don't. The bad things that I don't want to do, I do them." And in the end, he says, "Who will deliver me from this body of death?" Now, that's one heck of a personal testimony, if you ask me. And his answer, of course, is, "Thanks be to God who gives us the victory in Christ." He takes the focus off himself, because if you look at him, he says, "You're just going to find sin, chief of sinners though I be. Jesus shed his blood for me." Point to Christ. Points us to the one who has accomplished all things, who has won salvation for us, and drives us away from being self-centered and focusing on ourselves, who are so weak and prone to sin.
We're talking about myths regarding evangelism. Dr. Larry Rast is our guest. Larry, one of the latest things is the seeker-oriented approach to evangelism, and that is the audience is sovereign, and that means what we've got to do is convince people of kind of the day-to-day benefits of what it's like to be a Christian, how much better your life will be when you become a Christian. Is selling people on the Christian lifestyle evangelism? We've got 1 minute before this break.
Okay, yeah, fair question. A very good question, as a matter of fact. Some have called this a rather unhappy way of a proceeding because you're making promises that sometimes don't play out. If you are a faithful Christian, then you will have a better life. The benefits of being a Christian far outweigh the benefits of being a non-Christian. Well, all of us know that in many cases, our lives are not all that pleasant. Look at Paul himself once again. He says what? I've learned to be content in much and with little as well. And the fact of Paul's own life, that he ended up being martyred for the sake of Christ, tells us that not necessarily will it be the case that everything will go well over the course of your Christian life. So if you try and sell people via that means, and then things start to go wrong, they'll say very quickly, well, then Christianity is simply bunk. The point being, that's not the gospel. Once more, the gospel tells us that in Christ Jesus we have peace with God, the peace that passes all understanding, and that peace which he gives through his proclaimed word, through his administered sacrament, enables us in all places, in all circumstances, with much or with little, simply to rest in Christ and in Christ alone.
Dr. Larry Rast is our guest. He's Associate Professor of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. He has authored an article in the latest For the Life of the World magazine titled Doctrine and Mission, Not Either Or, But Both And. You can read this article on our website, issuesetc.org. Right under the What's New section, you'll find Doctrine and Mission, Not Either Or, But Both And, by Dr. Larry Rast, our guest in this hour. issuesetc.org. When we come back, one more question on that whole selling people on the benefits of the Christian lifestyle. What it ends up being more often than not is a preaching of the law, a preaching of the moral law. Well, here's how your life will be morally different if you become a Christian. Not only being false advertising, is this the gospel? We'll be right back. Joshua is one of the towering figures of the Old Testament, a successor to the prophet Moses, the first of the judges. He leads God's people into and through the promised land. But as great as Joshua is in the Old Testament, does he serve to prefigure someone even greater? Is there a connection between Joshua in the Old Testament and our Savior Jesus Christ in the New? Our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for February, the Concordia Commentary on the Book of Joshua, is a Christ-centered and cross-focused reading of this Old Testament book. For more information, go to our website, issuesetc.org. You'll find information there on the Concordia Commentary on Joshua, our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for February. Or call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours. Their number, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Todd Wilkin here. I'm talking with Pastor Scott Clems of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, about Christ Academy 2005, a two-week residential program for high school-aged men interested in the pastoral ministry. Scott, tell us about the academic and worship side of Christ Academy 2005.
Almost our entire faculty roster has come to educate and to teach these men. They study in the four areas of the seminary: exegetical, systematic, historical, and pastoral theology. And it's not just a light little breezy academic pursuit, but in fact, they're taught at the depth of the seminary. The men go to chapel four times a day. We have chapel four times a day at the seminary. So they attend matins before they even begin their day at 7 in the morning. They have daily office at 10 o'clock. They have evening vespers. And then at night before they go to bed, they have compline. Now, this is the regular worship schedule at the seminary, but they become a part of it. And between the study of God's word and the worship of him in the chapel, it's had some profound effects on quite a few young men.
Now, it does sound pretty intense in terms of the classroom and the worship schedule. Is there any downtime?
Oh, you bet. Capture the Flag and Ultimate Frisbee are excellent opportunities. The men have a great time in the evening. In between extra lectures that we do in the evening, they have games, they play Risk, they play Monopoly, and they get to know men from, well, last year we had men from 20 states.
Then do you have these high school age men returning again later as students at Concordia Theological Seminary?
We currently have 9 men at the seminary who have attended Christ Academy events and are graduates of either the college level or the high school level. We have 30-plus men currently studying in pre-seminary programs in the Concordia University system. And then in addition to that, we have identified some of the men who are in secular schools who are also planning to attend the seminary. And total, over 130 men have attended Christ Academy. What we ask people to do is take a look in their congregation, the young men in their congregation, and identify the men that they think would make great pastors and great leaders in the church. Say, I have an idea. You like the church. You love everything that we do on Sunday. I want you to go to Christ Academy at Concordia Theological Seminary. I want you to spend 2 weeks and study God's Word and worship with other men like you. As far as your future, I don't know, but let's see how it can affect you.
If you know a high school-aged young man who's interested in the pastoral ministry, tell them about Christ Academy 2005. For more information, visit our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, 1-800-481-2155.
What makes this such a unique place is that the Word of God is so central and is proclaimed with such vigor and such clarity at this place.
Dr. Larry Rast on the uniqueness of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Here the scriptures are at the center. The Lutheran confessions as a right exposition of the scriptures are held up for all the world to hear. Here we are concerned about our historical past and being faithful to the proclamation of the gospel as the scriptures give them to us and as the faithful church has delivered those over time. And also we are concerned about preparing servants for the church, pastors who will preach the word and administer the sacrament. So what you have is a community with Christ at the center of all things. And as such, that truly makes this a unique place.
Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Our Issues Etc. book of the month for February is a commentary on the Old Testament book of Joshua, the Concordia Commentary on Joshua, a Christ-centered, cross-focused reading of this Old Testament book, dealing with some of the most difficult questions, like what was the role of warfare in God's command? How can a good God command, in some cases, the total extermination of the enemies of God's people? Also, how is Christ prefigured in the book of Joshua? It's all there in our Issues Etc. book of the month for February, the Concordia Commentary on Joshua. You can find out more. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org. You can also order the Concordia Commentary on Joshua by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Call any weekday during regular business hours. The book costs $42.99 plus shipping and handling, 1-800-325-3040. Now, when you call, request the Issues Etc. book of the month for February, the Concordia Commentary on Joshua, 1-800-325-3040, or for more information, our website, issuesetc.org. Dr. Larry Rast is our guest. We're talking about evangelism. Larry, before we go on to some other things, before the break, you were talking about trying to sell unbelievers on the Christian lifestyle as a method of evangelism that doesn't turn out to be the preaching of the gospel at all. In fact, it turns out to be the preaching of the law. Is this an effort to try and get unbelievers to delight in the law in the way that only believers can?
Hey, I think you put that very nicely, Todd. And I think it appeals, in addition to what you said, it also appeals to human nature that thinks it really has to do something to earn God's favor, to gain his approval, if you will. And in that respect, when this promise of moral change is held out in front of people, when folks say, I used to be a drinker or a drug addict or a thief or a liar or all that kind of thing, and if you then come to Christ, you can change the way you live as well, well, that's pure law. And there's an element of that law that really appeals to the human being saying, hey, this is something I can do. This is something that I can accomplish. It's clear, it's straightforward, and it's right there in front of me. Along with that comes the problem, however, that if you're really honest with yourself, and if you really look at yourself in terms of the law as it is revealed in God's Word, what that law is going to do ultimately is condemn you and crush you and show you that, in fact, you aren't fulfilling the law in any way, shape, or form in terms of a satisfactory, in any satisfactory respect, or in some way that God would approve. Rather, you find you keep coming up short. So that kind of proclamation of the law either leads you to, well, it leads you to one of two places. Either a self-satisfied Phariseeism that says, I have done these things, Lord, all these things I've done over the course of my life, or it leads you to utter despair and gives you no way out of the problem, so that the individual is left with no one but themselves. Well, that's not gospel at all. That's not evangel at all. That's what the law does. And only the gospel, and only in the context of the gospel, can the Christian person fulfill those works of the law in his or her life, as Christ has already fulfilled them for him or her, and carry them out in a spirit of thankfulness, in a posture of thankfulness to what God has already done for them.
Larry, we're told by the people who claim to know the most about evangelism that the church needs to accommodate the culture in order to reach the lost. Recently, we had Dr. Gene Edward Veith on the program. Here's what he had to say about accommodating the culture.
In the churches, there was a sense of panic. The culture is changing, so if we're going to survive, we've got to go along with the culture. And so you had a movement in the Christian church to change Christianity according to the dominant culture. So when the age of modernism, the liberal theology, and that's what liberalism is, changing your theology to fit whatever the culture is, at that time, it's an age of reason. Okay, well, we'll have to make Christianity reasonable. We'll have to throw out the Bible. We'll have to throw out all of our supernatural teaching, throw out salvation, and try to make Christianity into a religion of reason and reason alone. Then the postmodernist culture came on. Again, there are people that want to do the same thing. Oh, for us to survive, we've got to change to fit the culture. And so we'll have to throw out all of our doctrines. We'll have to turn Christianity into just a subjective kind of experience. Where people can choose their own beliefs, and that's right for them, and that way we can accommodate the culture.
That's Dr. Gene Edward Veith, culture editor for World Magazine, recently on Issues Etc. Larry, your reaction to his observation?
I think he's made some very fine observations in that little cut you have there. That is very, very well put. There is a sense, it seems to me, in which the church really doesn't take God at his word. We know what the Word of God says, and it says so clearly and so beautifully that the Word of God, when it goes forth, will not return void, but God himself says it will certainly accomplish the purpose whereto I sent it. But we tend to think that maybe we need to add a little something to that Word. Maybe we need to give it an octane booster of some sort. Or maybe, you know, we need a little steroid shot so we can hit the ball a little bit farther and help God out just a little bit in this regard. And that stems, it seems to me, oftentimes from a sense of panic on the part of the church that what we're doing, preaching the word, doesn't seem to be working. If that's not working, then we have to come up with some kind of a solution to make things work correctly. And oftentimes, it has been the case within the history of the church that that the plea that is made, if we're going to survive, if we're going to be successful, we have to change. We have to accommodate the culture as it exists now. And as Dr. Veith rightly pointed out, that is the essence of liberalism, moving away from what has been handed on to you, what has been delivered to you, moving away from that and coming up with something new or something assumedly more more effective and the like. Well, the message that the Lord has for us is a different one. He says the way things work in this world is that we are called faithfully to scatter the seed, to sow the seed wherever we will. Some of it may fall on rocky soil. Some of it may fall on really deep and rich soil and take root. That's not our concern. What the Lord calls us to do is preach the word, proclaim Christ, to talk about what the scriptures have given us to talk about, to speak as he himself has spoken first to us, and that he will take care of the growth, that he will make sure that his people reach maturation and that they germinate and come to fruition and all of that sort of thing. He says, trust me with this endeavor. You simply fulfill the task I've given you. Do that. That's a tough thing, I think, for we human beings to do, because it really means trusting in God, trusting him in all things, and simply carrying out the task he's given us as faithfully as we possibly can.
Is the work of the evangelist only for the unbeliever, or is it also for the lifelong believer?
I often, being a church historian, will ask folks when I have the opportunity to sit down with them or give a presentation and the like, I'll say, think of an evangelist right now. And of course, since we're in the American setting, they tend to think of one of the famous TV preachers. The name that most often comes up in this regard is, of course, Billy Graham, the most famous of the evangelists of the late 20th and early 21st centuries. And then I ask another question. I say, now, who do you think Martin Luther would have mentioned back in the 1500s if I said name an evangelist? And there's kind of a hesitancy and a silence that emerges, and I say, well, you know, he would have mentioned four. He would have said Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So Luther, when he thought of evangelists, thought of a gospel writer, a gospel speaker, a good news preacher in that respect. And in that regard, I think you have the answer to your question already, namely that the evangelist certainly speaks the good news about Christ crucified and risen again to a world in need that needs to hear this message, but also speaks that message to we Christians who week in and week out need to hear that gospel message as well, for we daily sin much. And coming to our Lord and with repentant and contrite hearts, we seek him out and hear the good news once again, your sins are forgiven. So the work of the evangelist is not simply reaching out to those who don't know about Christ, which we certainly want to do, but also reaching out to those who do know about Christ, who have just as much need for that good news of salvation week in and week out as well.
We're discussing myths about evangelism. Dr. Larry Rast is our guest, Associate Professor of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Speaking of Fort Wayne, we will be there Thursday, March the 3rd, broadcasting live from Ascension Lutheran Church. It's part of the Issues Etc. Reformation Tour next month. That's during the month of March. Now, on Tuesday, March 1st, we'll hit the ground running. We'll be broadcasting live from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Dearborn, Michigan. Wednesday, March the 2nd, from Grace Lutheran Church in Auburn, Michigan. And, as I said before, from Ascension Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, on Thursday, March the 3rd. Now, everyone is invited to attend the afternoon broadcast from 4 until 7 and a free potluck meal right after the program. For more information on the Issues Etc. Reformation Tour, visit our website, issuesetc.org. That's March 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. We'll be in Dearborn, in Auburn, and in Fort Wayne. When we come back from this break, our final segment with Dr. Larry Rast discussing myths about evangelism. What about transfer growth? What about when a big church takes in a lot of members from a bunch of little churches? Is that evangelism? Now, of course, they're going to be hearing the gospel, we would hope. But is this really the goal of evangelism, moving people from little churches to bigger churches? And we'll also talk about baptism as evangelism.
Christ-centered, cross-focused. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Every year, Christ Academy hosts high school-aged men who desire to learn more about becoming a pastor.
The two-week event affords these young men the opportunity to immerse themselves in the day-to-day world of seminary life at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. They worship in Kramer Chapel, are instructed by the excellent CTS faculty, and enjoy time for recreation and getting to know other men who are considering becoming pastors. Christ Academy 2005 will take place June 19th through July the 2nd, 2005. Registration will open January 1st, 2005. To receive more information concerning this exciting opportunity, call 1-800-481-2155 or email christacademy@mail.ctsfw.edu. 1-800-481-2155 or christacademy@mail.ctsfw.edu. We're discussing myths about evangelism during this hour on Issues Etc. with Dr. Larry Rast. One of the overriding myths is that somehow the message and the mission are in tension with one another. That if you really care about the mission, you'll have to play soft and easy on the message. Or if you really care about the message too much, you're not going to be too concerned about that mission. Well, that is one of the biggest myths regarding evangelism. That's one of the things that we realize here on Issues Etc. It's why we talk about message first, mission second, and they go together. Help support Issues Etc., a worldwide outreach that's dedicated to both getting the message straight and getting the message out by joining the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. It's our monthly donor program. To find out the benefits of becoming an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, or reformer with premiums like tapes and books and transcripts, go to our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the picture low on the homepage of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses, issuesetc.org. Now, you can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by check. Just mail us that check to Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. You can also donate by credit card. Our resource line number is 1-800-737-0172. You can also donate online there at our website, issuesetc.org. We have a goal of 125 members by Easter this year. Help us reach that goal by joining the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Larry, a couple more myths in the time that remains to us. Is evangelism only the pastor's job?
Christ has called each one of us to be prepared to give a reason for the hope that is in us, and has called each one of us to a unique and particular vocation, placed each one of us in a unique place where we can share the gospel to those who don't know about Christ, can upbuild those who are weak in their faith, and can generally do the work of proclamation of the gospel as he calls to us. Now, certainly, Christ calls pastors through his church to proclaim this gospel, to do evangelistic work, to reach out in a missional fashion for the sake of those who don't know about Christ. And we know that in the specifically in the service, the Sunday morning service, where the word is read and the sacraments are administered according to the scriptures, that we have a very unique application of the gospel being made, and a very clear and a very concrete application of the gospel being made. So we don't by any means minimize the importance of the divinely established office of the holy ministry. But at the same time, God calls each and every one of us to be ready to do just that, give a testimony for the hope that is within us. And the hope that is within us is not a testimony about ourselves, as we were discussing earlier. It is a testimony about Christ. It is to be a martyr, to witness that Christ crucified is risen again, the world's sins have been taken away, and that salvation has been won by his all-availing work. And wherever we are, whether we're adult or child, whether we're woman or man, whether we're pastor or layperson, God puts us in unique circumstances where we can share that good news.
You mentioned the divine service. What about baptism? Someone might walk out of a typical, say, Lutheran service where a baptism has been administered and say, well, we got to see a baptism, but these people don't do evangelism. Is baptism evangelism?
Baptism is evangelism, perhaps in one respect, in the most clearest possible way. For where do you see the gospel more concretely applied than in baptism, and in more concretely in any other way than when a child is baptized? You know, we human beings have this tendency to want to do something. We want to add something to the work of God. And one of the beautiful things about baptism, and especially the baptism of a child, is that this child is there simply thrust upon the mercy of God. And God is gracious and merciful, gives his gifts, bestows his forgiveness, calls this child his own, welcomes this child into his kingdom. And so oftentimes we say, but we want something more. We need the child to do something. We need some kind of response. We need something we can identify or quantify. And the response that comes back is, it is Christ who is the author, that is the one who begins, and the perfecter, that is the one who completes our faith. He is the one who has begun it. He is the one who brings it to conclusion. It is his gracious activity for us from beginning to end. And nothing illustrates that more concretely than baptism, which, as the scriptures say so clearly, doth now save you, because it is God's action on our behalf.
Even now, at this point, the advocates of the church growth movement are admitting that after 30 years of this movement sweeping through American Christianity, American Christendom has not grown appreciably in any way. What they can boast of, however, is moving a lot of people from little churches to big churches, transfer growth.
Mm-hmm.
Is that evangelism?
No, I don't think so. A person who is already a believer, moving from one community to another, really one Christian community to another, from a smaller to a larger, really is not evangelism per se. That's kind of moving the pieces around on the board, if you will. What we look to in terms of the models that we like to follow and which we find to be inspiring in our case are models like that of the early church, where you had a small community, in many cases facing the most horrific of circumstances, persecution, martyrdom, murder on the part of the Romans. And in this small small community that was being oppressed from without, you have people in the most unbelievable of ways standing up and saying, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Savior. Polycarp, the great bishop of Smyrna, who was martyred in the middle part of the 100s, was led out before the people who were screaming for his death, and he was challenged to say, just say Caesar is Lord. Three little words. It can't be that bad. Say that and you'll spare your life. Polycarp came back and said, he has been faithful to me for more than 80 years. How could I then not be faithful to him? Of the other martyr stories that we have from the early church, where men and women and children even are led before the authorities and they are challenged to say those three simple words, just say Caesar is Lord. They won't do it. They say Jesus is Lord. He is Lord and Savior. And they make the good confession, always recognizing that he is the one who enables them to do that in the first place, and he is the one who gives the crown of glory in the end. And here you see missionary activity, evangelistic work at its best. These people don't go seeking out their own martyrdoms, but rather in this context, when the challenge comes, they are prepared to give a reason for the hope that is within them. And because of that, and through that witness that these people give, in all of these circumstances, the church grows from a persecuted little remnant, as it were, to a remarkably vigorous and large church, much different than kind of shifting the pieces around on the game board, as we've seen within American Christianity over the past several years, where folks go from smaller congregations that may lack programs and the like to larger congregations that have more programmatic offerings. That's not really evangelism. That's just kind of moving the numbers around a little bit. What we can learn from the early church, I think, once again, is how central Christ is to all their thinking, all their saying, all their doing, and learning that this vigorous confession that they have of Christ, who truly is God and man, came into the world, suffered, died, rose again for human salvation. And that message that they first received, they worked as best they possibly could in every possible situation to pass along faithfully so that more and more people could know to come to know of Jesus as Lord and Savior.
1-800-737-0172 is the phone number for our resource line. You can use that number to request a free complimentary copy of our Next Issues, Etc. journal. The Next journal contains an article called Bible-Believing Liberals, or you can use that number to join our monthly donor program, the Issues, Etc. Reformation Club. We're hoping to have 125 Reformation Club members by Easter. 1-800-737-0172, or write us at Issues, Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Dr. Larry Rast is Associate Professor of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, author of an article in the latest For the Life of the World magazine titled Doctrine and Mission, Not Either Or, But Both And. Larry, thank you again for being our guest.
Todd, it's always my pleasure to be with you, and blessings to your listeners.
Jesus says to his disciples in the so-called Great Commission, go make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. But let's not forget what he says at the end. I am with you always to the very end of the age. That's not a hollow promise. That's not just a promise of his spiritual presence or his moral support. Evangelism, the preaching of Christ and him crucified, is the work of the crucified and risen Savior carried out through his church. It's not our work. It's his work because it's his work to save us as well. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen to Pastor Todd Wilkin weekly on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues, Etc. to continue.